Hey guys, this is News Rocky. Kevin coming to you live with a really good show today. We have a great lineup, a nice panel of contributors. Today's topic of today's show is going to be who's to blame, protests versus riots. We obviously know that last week down in Washington, D.C., we have what many are calling a protest. Some on the opposite end of the conversation are calling it a riot. We'll go into what happened this past summer with the Black Lives Matters movement that took and swept this nation. Each and every part of the country had some sort of riot and or protest. We'll be talking today with Dewan Eastman, Kurt Erickson, and Mark Marcy. All three of these gentlemen don't agree with me. We'll find out whether or not I can take them on in the ring. So stay tuned. See you in the ring in 2 minutes with News Rocky. Hey guys, this is News Rocky. Welcome back. So excited to have this great panel today, these guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a moment here. But again, we're just privileged to have Dewan Eastman. We also have Kurt Erickson and Mark Marcy. And this panel discussion today is going to be taking on the protests versus riots. Who's to blame? Who are the ones that actually are causing the issues? Who's the one who are flaming the issue? I have my opinion, as you often hear me say. Corporate media will take on that. Also, I think these gentlemen are going to have their opinion. I'm pretty sure all three of them are going to be blaming one individual. I'll bet you $45 on that one. So let me bring in this team of great people here. And on the line today, we have Dewan Eastman, Kurt Erickson, and Mark Marcy. Dewan, why don't you take it away and introduce yourself to the listeners of News Rocky.
Oh, my name is Garland Dewan Eastman. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Citizens Opposed to Police States, a civil rights activist group. So I'm a civil rights activist and proud of it.
Very good. Thank you, Dewan. And Dewan, you and I have had a chance to get into it with another show. I appreciate you, and you have a nice, respectful way about making your points. Going right on to Mark Marcy. Mark, please introduce yourself.
Well, hi, I'm Mark Marcy. I'm retired. I'm a grad student down at Southern University, Connecticut State University, in the School of Political Science.
Interesting. And so just so the listeners know, Mark and I know each other from some of our really enjoyable conversations we have on our social media posts, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Kurt Erickson, would you take a moment and introduce yourself for the listeners?
Yes, I'm Kurt Erickson. I'm a small business owner, and I also am co-founder of Citizens Opposed to Police States with Dewan, and we have one more other gentleman. His name is Byron. We're here for civil rights and social justice and trying to fix these issues we got going on here in this country.
Thank you. And Kurt, you know, out of
Please
the...
excuse my dog.
No worries. That's fine. So we love dogs on the News Rocky Show. So, Kurt, let's stay with you for a moment. You, out of this panel, most recently had an incident in West Haven where you actually got into a issue with the West Haven Police Department. You were tased and arrested. We had you on the show. We talked about it. You have firsthand knowledge and experience. Do you think you go into these events as a protester, or are you sort of there maybe to cause trouble, have a riot, or is that the test that you have to do each time you go out? You don't know exactly what you're going to do. You just let it happen.
Absolutely not. I mean, point taken for the West Haven incident alone. We were there for Mubarak Suleiman. He was a 19-year-old boy that was murdered, you know, by West Haven and state police there under the bridge. And we were there in West Haven marching for that. And keep in mind, it was documented, and it was also we were offered detours by the West Haven Police Department in the newspaper, and it was published online. So this was a known about event. And the only thing that I view as a setup there is the officers that allowed that woman to drive through there. That's my stance on that.
Okay. So getting into that, you obviously, how many protests, Kurt, have you participated in your experience?
A lot. I mean, over 20 for sure.
Okay. Have you seen violence? Have you ever seen violence?
Dewan's there a lot more than me.
Kurt, have you ever been involved with violence, or have you seen violence? Have you ever been attacked or maybe attacked anybody?
Oh, absolutely. I've never attacked anybody. And then I've been attacked, though, multiple times by the same officer of West Haven Police Department.
Okay. Yeah, when you shared that when you were on the show, so we appreciate it. Mark, let's go over to Mark Marcy. And Mark, I'd like to kind of talk about, you know, the topic of today's show is really all over the news. We see the impeachment hearing process for the president, who is out in less than a week or so, right now is being pushed down in D.C. When you look back at last week's events, do you think that was a protest or a riot, in your opinion, Mike?
Well, I think it was a protest or a rally to start with. I think after that, it turned into a riot. It was, in my estimation, an act of domestic terrorism.
Now, you've been around for a little bit longer. You look like about, 35, 40 years old, maybe?
Thank you.
Yeah, but you've been around a while. So have you ever experienced what's going on in this country now, right, Mark? Think about where we are today.
I was alive during the Kent State riots. Listened to Crosby, Stills, and Nash sing about Kent State, mm-hmm. Right at the time. Mm-hmm. I was alive during the Nixon Watergate scandal. I was alive during Iran-Contra. I was alive during Whitewater and Monica Lewinsky scandals. Mm-hmm. So, this is a step a lot farther than most of that, perhaps not Kent State, but certainly Kent State was not the rioters or the protesters rioting against the police. It was the police shooting Kent State protesters.
Interesting. So would you tend to say during the things that took place with your background, your experience you're offering to the listeners here, you've seen these things taking place, but never to this magnitude in this country? It seems like we now are in a time where rioting, if you want to call it civil disobedience or you want to call it protesting, ends up, seems almost every time, someone's getting arrested and there's some kind of violent act. And that's disappointing. How you feel about that?
Speaking to my two counterparts here, the peaceful protest of BLM at the Lincoln Memorial resulted in over 300 people getting arrested.
Right.
On the spot. The assault on the state capitol, 12 people were arrested on the spot. It seems to be, and there's also a video of Reverend Warnock being handcuffed in the state capitol for singing and praying.
That was an older article, but yeah, that was older.
There is a different...
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, Mark, I want to hear your thoughts, and we'll go over to Dewan. I want to get him in a minute. Finish your thoughts, Mark.
Well, I think there's a great disparity in the way the police police black protesters and the way police police white protesters.
So you believe there's a difference. So, Dewan, I'm going to bring you right in. You were with the show last week, got to get to know a lot about you and your passion. How do you feel when I say that we're going to be talking about protests versus riots? Is there anything that kind of comes to mind with you, Dewan?
Yes. I'm glad that we're actually making the distinction, because a lot of times we have dressed around what is an armed insurrection, and we finally got one that's a blatant one, and what's literally following the dream of Martin Luther King in such a way that, or if we're even having the real conversation.
All right, somebody's got their phones going off there a little bit. Why don't you guys all do me a favor, if you can just make sure you mute any buttons on your phones, it's all good. News Rocky can deal with it. But Dewan, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, so you're talking upon, you have a lot of passion. We know that getting to know you, that you've participated in about how many different protests, you think, in your lifetime?
Within the past 6 months, hundreds. I mean, we protest like every 3 days, so.
How much do you get paid per protest?
And then several times. How much do I get paid?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. I mean, some people think they pay protesters. You think there's any fact to that? There might be some levels of organized protesting that's out there with maybe Antifa or whatever, those organizations that are funded kind of protests?
the United States government would be sloppy and really bad, and companies would as well, if they weren't getting into the political era with some, into the political game with some AstroTurf movements as well. I mean, so there's people getting paid too. It's always been a complicated field because we're a complicated democratic republic.
Interesting. All right. So when you look back at what took place this past week down in Washington, D.C., what would you call that? Would you call that, as I asked Mark early on here, protest, or was that a riot in your opinion?
Oh, it was a riot, but it was the worst kind of riot. Because we've had riots like Woodstock in 99, Boston, where, you know, even if it's a football game, let's say it's not even political or racial outside of all the political realm, Philadelphia and stuff. But we never had the president turn around and say, hey, let's burn this fucker down, too.
Is that, you heard Trump say, burn this fucker down?
No, well, okay, this is, of course, when he says we're going to march to the Capitol and that the people robbed, when we all know, I mean, the Republican Party made some huge mistakes in that they didn't even try to win the majority of the country. They gambled on the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. So at no point are we contesting who did the majority of the country vote for. Mm-hmm. So it's a riot because your team lost. That's why I keep comparing it to all these game loss and everything. But then when he turns around and says he was robbed and denies the peaceful transfer of power that every president all the way up to this guy has done, and it goes just in the Hitlerist type method of personalizing it for the people, that's saying burn this fucker down. As a protester, I don't personalize our racism when we're right there in front of a cop, because I don't want my protesters to bash the cop, you know, I don't want them to get violent.
Okay.
That's like the basics of, we do have to be, we hold ourselves to account of what we say, both of us as thought leaders and as protesters, and the president, it should be much more so than just a simple organizer like myself.
Let me ask the panel, each one of you can answer. I'll start with Kurt. Do you think that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, knew what was going to happen? Was it planned in his mind? And he knew that this incident would take place. Kurt, you'd be the first to respond. Kurt, why don't you unmute? I'll go to Mark. Mark, you can respond, Mark. Kurt, I'll be right back to you in a minute, okay? Mark, go ahead. Respond to that question. Okay.
I got it.
All right. If you got it, let's go. Who's on with me?
Give them hell was the term that Trump used. That was the term that he used when he had a march on the Capitol. Give him hell.
Give him hell.
And you can take that how you want to take it, but that, in my opinion, either he knew what was going to happen. We'll have to check, you know, all the data on this. I'm sure there was a massive data that's been either being looked at now and uncovered, or it already was. But that's essentially orders to march on the Capitol. I mean, I don't care how you look at it, but the articles of impeachment that were introduced today or in the process of doing it, are, you know, basically saying he formed an insurrection against the United States government. That's high treason.
Okay, so I find it interesting because, and we're going to get into this, and I want to hear from Mark. Kurt, we'll come back to you in a moment, but one thing you just pointed out, Kurt, is really interesting to me, is you're really saying that what this president did, and believe me, a president, anyone in an office should be held responsible, and we're going to go into that later. I have some real good examples I'd love response from you guys on, but do you think it's actually somebody... maybe there's a little bigger, darker, deeper thing here that's going on. Do you think some folks might have kind of, you know, set the president up for this? The question I'm asking directly, Mark, what is your opinion of what happened down there? And is the president responsible?
There are reports that 4chan, Parler, had, you know, a lot of traffic that was talking about violence, you know, taking over the Capitol. And, the FBI and the New York Police Department, the New York City Police Department, sent the Pentagon notification that they felt that this was going to be a violent protest. There's an interesting, you know, the actual transcript of the president's words are out. We're like boxers with our, you know, hands tied behind our backs. We need to fight harder. You know, when the president speaks, he carries, I mean, Juan and Kurt, are, you know, they organize protests. Their voice is not as loud as the bully pulpit of the presidency.
Okay.
And when the president sends out signals that, and the direct response is a domestic terrorist attack with weapons, mace, bombs, Molotov cocktails in cars, you know, waiting to be used. I think that this is, you know, it's a cause and effect that we're looking at here. If you're thinking that what happened 10 minutes after the president got done speaking had nothing to do with the president, I suggest that perhaps there's a disconnect between cause and effect with your line of thinking.
Okay, well, and I appreciate that. And we're going to go over to Duane, and I'm going to take along some of the thoughts that Mark just brought up. And I definitely don't blame the president for this. I want to be, you know, public. It's, and this is why we're having a discussion, right? I equally am, I'm here to answer questions. As long as you know, I'll hit the dump button. If you piss me off, I won't dump you guys. But I just want to have a respectful conversation. Duane, what I want to ask you is, how many protests have happened in this country, in your opinion, as a professional organizer, where weapons are brought, where public officials like Congresswoman Waters goes out and says, take them on. I don't care if it's at the gas station. I don't care if they're at the supermarket. Go and confront them. Violence, if we have to use violence, we will. Actually, going back to 2014, where Barack Obama actually spoke in regards to the Ferguson incident that actually kicked off this whole Black Lives Matter sort of movement that's elevated to where it is now. That happened under Barack Obama. His words, in many eyes of Americans, was divisive. Duane, do you have any comments?
Well, I do think that we can say that the president was set up for set him up. Because on the left, at least, and again, I'm speaking from the very far left, in a slight bit of disagreement, we have had a different theory and a different wording for the president's Twitter habits. And the sad thing is, I think even conservatives would agree with me that a lot of the president's problems originate and end on Twitter. The best thing they could have done for him and should have done a long time ago was ban him away from that thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100% with you. I think his, you know, I'm a bad habit guy. Sometimes I just yell things out. I think you learn lessons. It doesn't work well. Duane, you still with us?
Yeah, and we call it stochastic terrorism. When he said, when he came out saying stuff like, you know, about any really bad thing about vulnerable populations, like they're rapists, they're murderers and stuff, we pretended like we were further ahead on the progress racial ladder than we were because we had a president.
Are you talking though? Are you talking about his comments about Mexicans coming into the country?
Excuse me?
Are you talking about directly with the president's comments about Mexico and Mexicans coming into the country?
Yes. I'm saying that we as a society, I don't believe we can blame Trump and the Democratic Republic. We should have been more adult in checking this president when it came to all of Mexico. I think that it even seems contradictory at this point. I'm glad that the Democratic Party is finally listening on the far left at left. But it should have been done a long time ago, and doing it in on this tail end now even seems mildly cowardly to me.
From the Democratic side, so you think the Democrats are actually reacting a little slow to this president, in your opinion? I want to go to Kurt now. Kurt, I want to ask you a question specifically. You're obviously a white male. You are participating in a lot of these activities where you're actually out supporting people of other racial ethnicities. You're out there. You did explain your relationships and your own personal life, you know, you don't see race. What inspires you as a white male to get involved with the movements and these protests?
Equality. And I have a moral fiber in me that screams out that there's a big disparity and something's wrong. And just how I live my life, I can't stand by and see that if I have means and ways to figure it out and help and come together and change these things.
So you're inspired by that, and that's a great inspiration. Do you think the methods of protesting today you're involved in, are they actually paying off? Do you think these are things, these events are paying off?
Oh, yes. You know, I'll point to a great example. There was a gentleman, remember that car was stolen the other day by a couple of youths in West Haven, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that? And the officer was almost ran over.
Yeah, Dewan was laughing at the officer almost getting ran over the other day when he was on with
him. Yeah, well, he ended up not getting, it turned out he wasn't run over, but he was injured. You know, I don't want people to die. But he was making fun of that because of the simple fact of the oppression West Haven itself as a department has been doing. And
he expressed himself very eloquently about his love for the West Haven PD. We got it.
Well, here's my thing. You're asking the question of, do you think it's working? So here's my thing about West Haven. You can agree we've given West Haven PD a lot of pressure, correct?
Well, they're getting a lot of notice.
Okay. So here's the thing. I bet you last year when they shot Mubarak Soleimani, that was his car was trapped with two cruisers on the side of the doors. Mm-hmm. He was known schizophrenic at the time during the call, and they shot him seven times after telling him to get out of the car, which is he was impossible to get out of the car, and they shoot him seven times inside the car.
Did he have a weapon?
A year later to the day, almost, you know, he's those youths stealing the car almost in the same location, literally two blocks away, and they almost get run over by their own cruiser, but they don't fire one shot.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not from us, something has changed, though, and I believe just the more eyes and awareness alone – because like I tell Dewan all the time, we don't have to go and cause problems. These bad officers, the ones that are bad, are going to make the problems visible themselves. We just have to record, confront, and hold accountable. That's it.
Okay, going over to Mark. Thank you for that, Kurt. Appreciate your point of view. And listen, I mean, we can get into the commentary, and we're going to come back around. I don't necessarily agree with everything you're saying with that. I do. One thing you made a very good point, and I'll give it credit, Kurt, is you said, experiencing from what happened last year into this year, you're thinking maybe there was a second or thinking, why am I going to draw my weapon and shoot when we could actually stop this action a different way? That's what you're saying?
And they did, you know? I mean, that was beautiful because I've always stood against that. Like, you know, the people that get in, the cops that position themselves in front of stolen vehicles or cars that are moving, that just looks like a reason that you want to kill. And that's not the moral fiber I want in a department that's supposed to be in public servitude to me and my family and other community members. You know, I want you to jump out of the way and use an evasive move like their police report said. Jump out of the way. Figure it out another way. This is your job and this is what it should be. Your job is not an executioner and I'm tired of it and that's it.
Okay, so moving on to Mark. Mark, any thoughts on this part of the conversation today? Use of force by law enforcement. Do you question the amount of use of force that was exercised down in Washington, D.C. last week? And if you have an opinion on that, why?
Well, you know, I'd like to start off with an interesting article I just read about the Newark, New Jersey Police Department and the de-escalation program that resulted in absolutely no officer weapon discharge over the last year. Police training, this idea of defund the police, which is a terrible name, is really fund the police more with more training, at least initially. And as far as the amount of police interaction with the Capitol Hill insurrection, there's a lot of questions that are still unanswered about all of that. There are some obvious heroes in the Capitol Hill police, and there's some obvious questions about some of the other actions.
I appreciate that answer. So I want to kind of move over with you guys to this part of the conversation. And, you know, I'm going to come right out here and say that, you know, I think that there's a cause and effect. I think maybe it was you, Mark, or one of the gentlemen here talked about it. Cause and effect. I believe 100% with my heart that one of the biggest causes to our divide is corporate media. Do you think now that you see this overwhelming support for the police officer, the Capitol officer, there's 300 plus officers were killed last year in the line of duty. Most national news had no coverage. This incident took place in a very big stage. But do you think it's a little biased how they're jumping and talking about the supporting of the police now after these same corporate media, same public officials have been wanting to, as Mark said, defund and get rid of the police departments throughout the country? I'll start with Kurt, you.
I'm glad you brought that up again. I had an answer for you for that.
Good, I knew it.
To throw that number, that 307 on.
Yeah.
So out of that 307, how many died of COVID related? Not to mitigate
that's a different list, but I know what you're talking about.
Well,
so
it's not a list. It's actually here from your National Office Memorial. Exactly. .org.
Right.
189 died of COVID, which means there was actually 30 less deaths in the line of duty besides COVID from the year before. So actually crime went down.
Not really, but I appreciate
against
that.
Police officers. Well, yeah. It says it right here.
Yeah. Those numbers aren't accurate.
Aircraft accidents, only 45 were killed by gunfire.
No, that's not true.
In 2019, 48 were.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually more violent in 19.
Right. So that's not actually true. But anyways, we'll move on to Dwan.
I'm citing your statistics that you put up.
Right.
That's where you get it.
Yeah, no, there was a statistics that were early on. The statistics on, actually, there's more COVID. If you look at it, it's about 1,900 COVID actual fatalities in police work across the country. So why don't we move on, Dwan? Do you have any response to the question?
Yeah, of course, it's something that on both sides, there is, I have to agree, there is a strong role that corporate media plays with these days and in the way that they report, in the rush to judgment and even the rush to sanctity both of our have to work on. But as a net, I would say that and I wrote this in the comments to one of the people in your comment section said that we had never had de-escalation, and I joking but seriously said we offer de-escalation training with every protest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our protest, not just in that joking manner, but in it just knowing that we'll be there and we'll be second guessing them, has made this country a safer country, even in this year.
So you think your commitment to protesting in a certain way, your platform works. Now, what about those protesters that are out there that want to get violent? How do you handle those folks that come out with you?
We are a democratic republic based on reason. We're not going to get anything done when we have some violence in. So we swarm them, we stop them. We have like endless training that we give to our protesters to make sure that provocateurs cannot bring violence to the state of Connecticut. Because I have to say, and I hate to say this, but you always should admit the weakest part of your argument. It's taken work from cops and from protesters, as protesters working together to make our state be as relatively peaceful in our protest as we've been. It attacked much worse than anything they saw in DC. So that is, we've got to put that red line in, that violence is not a thing, and that's on the protesters as well as the president, as well as the police, as well as all of us as a community, I think.
So as an organization, you organize this group and you take pride in what you do, but would you not agree that you actually agree with the protesters that were down in Washington, D.C.? I mean, you can't support one form of protesting over the other, right? So any comments on that?
I'm fine with the Capitol. I wish they had done it without weapons, number one. I mean, just dream. And I get their First Amendment rights. But you can't, that's in any protest. Even though I completely disagree with them that our democratic process should be destroyed, that's where a lot of the violence of using weaponry, and this is something we need to discuss as a country. We need to decide whether we can protest with guns or not. Because I protest with guns and have protested without guns. Everybody, we do it on both sides, but we maybe shouldn't have guns in protest.
So you wouldn't like to see no guns in protesting. Mark, I want to go over to you, and I wanted to ask you, with your background, you talked about all the things you've experienced in America and certainly have seen some craziness. Do you think the divide of the people of this country, in your opinion, this is the worst ever, or is it just another day in America?
Well, didn't Aaron Burr and Madison have a duel, or is it Adams?
Adams.
Adams. I mean... Madison, Jefferson, I think, was it Jefferson that called Madison's wife a whore?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, you know, these things have absolutely happened throughout our history. That Congress, government is not supposed to be easy in times of extreme ideological divide. It's supposed to be difficult so that one party doesn't enforce, you know, doesn't shove policy down the other's throat. And this is what you're seeing. You're seeing a divided government, and legislation is difficult. Important legislation seems to get through. The Civil War, after Lincoln was elected, it was 3 months later that South Carolina seceded from the Union, followed by the other southern states over the course of a few months, and Civil War broke out in a year. Unfortunately, what I'm seeing in today's world is what I'm, is what I have feared for a while, that this, I saw where one of the QAnon representative posted something about the revolution. This is a revolution. Well, this isn't actually a revolution, because that was against the British. This is a civil war, potentially.
So, Mark, you're basically saying, and I agree with you. I think we are at a point. When I watched the video last week, we were here doing a live show. It was the beginning of not civil unrest, but a civil war, in my opinion. Dewan, I want to go to you for a minute. I want to ask you directly. You kind of set it up a moment ago as far as you believe those folks in Washington, D.C. had the right to go down and protest. Would you be in favor of denying people their First Amendment rights in any level of discussion?
Hell no. Okay. I think we need a little bit more involved in the conversation, not less. I'm about...
So would you not say then... denying, even though it's private platforms, of this president, you don't have to like them. I mean, I'm just asking a question based on First Amendment rights. Do you think this purposeful disconnecting him from his ability to communicate is being done on purpose?
Well, with this particular president, there's still the argument about whether what he's saying is yelling fire in a crowded room.
So you're justifying censoring him over one way because of the perception by the majority of people.
I think we have a legislative argument. I even think that they acted by taking down Parler. That was it much for me. Though I disagree with everything that goes on in Parler, there's always, because of the rhetoric of the United States, kind of push back to do right back on the left, whether I organization or equivalent or not. And that's why we do not have any, and even controlling who's what. We're going to have to actually maybe nationalize these companies or break them down some so that competition in that ground, so at least either the market or regulate their assets.
So isn't that kind of a socializing or a socialist type movement in a sense, where there's actually control of the freedom of speech?
Well, since I am on the far left, I will spitball a solution, but I mean any solution, even market-based solutions that work. And the Supreme Court has pointed out free speech has consequences. And in the Supreme Court, I think they're 1999.
Right. So let me move over to Kurt, if I can. Dewan, thank you for that. Kurt, I want to talk a little bit about this past summer, the activities, not just in Connecticut.
Can I mention something about that First Amendment? Because I support them.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
I support them down there to you know, voice their opinion about anything they may seem fit in their own mind, you know? Mm-hmm. But like Mark had said, the Capitol hasn't been taken. It's only been taken twice, once in 1812, I believe, in the War of 1812, mm-hmm. and then also now. And the difference was it was against another country, you mm-hmm. know, essentially. Not for the advancement of one single person like he's a deity. And you know, another thing that's kind of creepy about that, it was Nazi-like, because Hitler did that a couple years before he took, you know, took over Germany, and he was jailed. And then they released him after that, and he got out because of his party, and then he came to power.
Took him five years to take power over. Kurt, what do you think about what happened this summer? Thank you for pointing that out, and I appreciate that. But as far as these protests, and a lot of them got called, at least by one side of the argument, riots. You had destruction of property. You had people being killed throughout the country. And again, this all really after George Floyd here, and no one disagrees, at least I don't disagree. George Floyd was a tragedy and should never happen, okay? But what do you think about these other events that took place and the lack of criticism, maybe by the national corporate media and one side of the political party, but yet in this incident, it's coming on so strong that the entire world wants to eradicate Donald Trump from history? Still there? Okay, well, guys, we're actually, thanks for staying tuned here with the News Rocky Show. Today we're having this great conversation with Dwan Eastman, Kurt Erickson, and Mark Marcy. All our contributors are coming into us remotely here, safe in a COVID room. And we're having a discussion about who's to blame, protests versus riots. Guys, you know, what happened last week in Washington, D.C., has given us a moment to really evaluate who we are as a country, where we have come from and where we are going. Unfortunately, we're not in a position in this country where, you know, the birds are chirping and the rose petals are flying on the ground as you walk and everyone's drinking champagne. It's not what's happening right now. We are in a divided country, a country that doesn't seem to know how to get out of its own way, a country where politics has begun to pulverize every part of our lives. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, people talked about politics, but they didn't talk about it like it was sport. They didn't talk about it like it was some kind of, you know, this newfound opportunity to be so educated because social media platforms give us a quick 1 to 2 second degree in one topic or the other. See, we're in a world today, guys, where the debate actually is not a discussion first, it's a debate. You go right into debate mode. And every time that happens in this country's history, when we see the uprisings, we've seen it. Mark talked about it a little bit, and I appreciate his comments. What we end up seeing is an opportunity for I'm going to bring these, so just bring them back on. And what we see is an opportunity where us, we see in the country an opportunity for the American people. We have to wake up and come together. I think, Dwan, we have you on the line. Is that right? Dwan, you there?
Back in, everybody?
Yeah. I think we're missing Mark.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, got you there. So, Kurt, I was at you, so let's answer the question. We'll get right back into it. What happened this past summer with the different activities took place? You support the First Amendment right. You support the ability for people to go out and protest. How do you feel about the rioting side? Do you support that as well from your point of view, Kurt?
Dwan has a great quote about riots. He had said it a couple times. I'd hate to say sometimes it's necessary in a way, but sometimes it's necessary. But I don't agree with it 100% when it's, you know, for the gain of one man over control of the country. That's just not equate to me. As far as this summer, majority of protests, I mean, you can look at all the stats you want, but there's thousands and thousands and thousands of protests, and we can only remember a couple incidents versus, you know, the mass, how many there were. And then you had mentioned, like, you know, how did they portray it in the media? They're portraying this as a riot. Well, if I remember correctly, all summer, the media was blasting our protests, and we were getting that news coverage, and we were battling that same kind of tone from other people saying, oh, you're out there destroying stuff. So I was in the heat of this arguing with people and debating people about this all summer. So I believe the media was portraying them as violent at some points.
So you really believe it? We're having a good conversation here, and we're going to try to get Mark back on with us here. But you're telling me you really believe that the media has treated this topic fairly across the board. When we saw incidents like in Seattle, Washington, where media and national political figures didn't want to come out and even condemn the violence that was going on there. I mean, do you think it's one-sided? Do you think it's fair?
I just think there are two different setups. You know, this riot over here was an insurrection that's going to go down in history. I mean, our different protests and things that had got out of hand in certain places were, you know, done for a different reason and not for like a deity, like I had said. You know, nobody's opinions are less substantial or their fights and causes. However, you know, you do have to weigh it a little bit. And like I said, even that one, was it Kenosha or was it, it might have been Kenosha.
I think it was.
Turned out to be an off-duty cop that started smashing AutoZone's windows and burned down AutoZone, you know?
Right. Well, so there's been enough conversation or enough topics in this realm of the riots, the protests. You just made a claim. I don't know because I haven't really researched it. Mark, welcome back. That possibly there was more peaceful riots or protests, and I would happen to agree that, you know, the bigger events, they got the news, but not always the news of the national brand news. They kind of got news of these alternative sites like Parler and all these Newsmax and whatever that kind of have a different version. Mark, I want to go back to you. Welcome back, first of all, but do you feel, Mark, in your history, your life, that national corporate media, on all sides of the argument, has gotten out of control? Or do you think they're right in the lane they should be in?
Well, you know, I do agree that media has a bias. And I believe that there's some truth. Generally, in all media, there is some truth. To what degree that truth is, I don't really choose to debate here. And I think that if it sounds too good to be true or if it fits your ideology too closely, then perhaps you ought to, you know, verify what you're reading or hearing.
Okay, so when you're saying that, I'm wondering with regards to you don't want to go one side or the other. I'm kind of interested, Dewan, if you could do me a favor. What do you think police think in their minds when they're dealing with a protester? Do you think they go into this thinking, I want to go home at night, I don't know what could happen here? And do you ever in your mind feel for that police officer, like the individual who got killed down at the Capitol last week? How do you feel about that?
I feel supreme empathy for the police officers, especially since we see them, you know, like I said earlier, it does take a degree of coordination to have a peaceful protest. When you look them in the eyes, and you talk to them and you listen to them, they feel, especially here in Connecticut, where we've had to deal with the media giving its propaganda, they feel under attack because they hear that there's only two sides to this argument, and one side is that they shouldn't exist at all, and that everything they do is bad, and that we hate them, and the other side is worship them and question them with no thought whatsoever. That's a very confusing situation to be put into, and we are all there. So I actually kind of look at them as brothers in that sense. The limited sense, though, only the amount that allows me to keep my protesters safe.
Okay. So, you know, let me ask the panel this, and whoever wants to answer first can jump in. If we can agree on anything, the left side of an argument and the right side, not trying to debate, but let's just put them in categories for the purpose of the conversation. If we both agree that we are a nation that is just divided, we are, you know, we're confused, we're angry, and in some cases, we're angry about things we don't even know. How do we bring it together? Who is that person that can stand up among us? Who are those organizations? Because right now, are we not on a pathway for even more destruction and anger? Anybody on the panel have a response? I'd love to hear it. Go ahead, Mark. I see you thinking.
Well, you know, I always think that you know, the information is always out there. If you choose to go and look for it, you'll find it. Whether it be a confirmation or an invalidation of what you're thinking, there's something out there that presents fact. Not on every issue, because some issues are kind of nebulous. But I think that, you know, the thought about personal responsibility also goes to, you know, personal responsibility for verification of facts. I mean, you know, I'm just, every day I'm a little astounded. I'm the person that deals in facts. I know my First Amendment rights. I know where they exist. And guess what? My First Amendment rights don't exist on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or any Parlor, or anywhere. Those are, I sign a user agreement when I walk onto those sites, mm-hmm. that I will conform to their guidelines.
Right.
And if I don't, they're a private enterprise.
Right.
They don't want me messing up their bottom line.
So you're talking about Parler recently and Twitter getting rid of the president. That was their choice to do. And quite honestly, you're right. They have the right to do that.
Line.
Pardon me?
It hurt their bottom line. They decided it was too risky of an exposure to continue the president on their line.
I think that they'll probably end up wanting him back with the 80 plus million people that probably follow him. But, you know, to that point, Mark, you make a really good point, because fake news, and you often comment and say, Kevin, why don't you read? And it's all, listen, I have no disrespect for anybody. I'd like to stimulate a conversation. And I will tell you, sometimes I learn things in the, because I'll read one article and one article will say, this is what it is. I can pick up the same topic in another article from another media source, and it's totally different. Our First Amendment rights, they shouldn't just only be responsible by us. But don't you think the media, Kurt, I want to hear your response. Isn't the media responsible for what they put out?
It's all an interpretation. It's all how people decide to take things and what they decide to do with it and or process the information. I'm totally against limiting First Amendment. I believe that's really, I mean, crap, I'm on 22 charges. I'm on bond for right now for First Amendment. You know, I broke my spine for my First Amendment. You know, I'm very passionate about the First Amendment. I don't want to limit it. I don't believe media sources are responsible. I mean, they're responsible to a certain degree when they get a certain size. And as far as I feel like, yeah, it was their bottom line, but also it was their bottom line because they didn't want to be, you know, held accountable and liable for a potential, you know, insurrection and civil war. You know, they don't want to be tied to that. And that's their bottom line being affected. Will they put out anything? Yeah, they don't care. They're going to put out anything as long as their bottom line is going to remain their bottom line, you know?
Do you feel, though, does anyone on the panel feel like the corporate media, and I'll throw right out there, CNN or Fox, right? Maybe you choose Fox over CNN for your source. Do you think that they're just stoking the fire, knowing what they're doing and creating their energy that they want with the people that seek their information? Or do you think it's actually legitimate reporting?
I blame them supremely.
Interesting.
And you see how I was sitting over here writing furiously in agreement with you, because what you're describing here is, and I think we all are in full agreement, a crisis of leadership. But you can't lead if you don't even have the horn is given all kinds of improper fighting signals.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. And the media, if in our democratic republic, is our horn. It says, this is where you fight for you get in this democratic ring and fight for your beliefs. So the media is supremely responsible for this. And especially when we look at stuff like our national security and stuff and how Russia influenced us, the fact that we don't look at the flaws in our own media that has lower approval ratings than Donald Trump, it seems like an oversight that is just too massive to keep doing.
Interesting.
We need major media reform in this country.
All right, we're keeping a tally. Juwan, me and you agree on that one, so I just checked it off on the board. Thank you. So when it comes down to it, I want to ask this question to the panel. Give me one thing, the worst thing Donald Trump did in his presidency, and the best thing, in your opinion, he did in his presidency, and we'll start with Kurt.
Run was the worst thing he did.
Okay, go ahead.
Coming down that escalator in his little Miss America wave he did.
Yep.
Before he stopped. No, you know, I tell you one thing. I used to be a fan of some of his economic stuff that he was doing, and he came in there. I believe America's been taking an L on oil. We've been taking an L on certain things. I understand the economic thing, but I also understand sustainability and how our gas prices would be the same for 100 years with certain different moves. Mm-hmm. You know, I get all that. but it comes down to this divide. And the worst thing he could have done was divide this country, because I'd rather be poor and happy and peaceful than to be prosperous and, you know, live under a gentleman that's dividing the country and clearly outwardly racist and hasn't even tried to make an atone for it. Because, you know, we know Biden has his history, too. He's made some, you know, he's atoned a little bit for it, but let's see what his actions, what he can do as well. But believe, best believe, if he fucks up, we're holding them to the fire just the same.
Well, you interesting. Know, you call Donald Trump a racist. You said Donald Trump's a racist, Kurt?
Oh, he's 100%.
Give me some samples of racism from Donald Trump.
Any one of his comments on it. I mean, I can give you a whole list. There's a book of it. Any of the immigration.
Well, anybody can write a book. I mean, that's. I mean, but just in your opinion, what do you think?
Back in 2015, Donald Trump tweeted at white genocide. Now, white genocide.
Oh no, gentlemen, God sir.
A storm front. You know, Daily Stormer, white supremacist theme that the white population of America will become the minority. Well, it's going to happen. But
actually, Joe Biden just said that. Actually, Joe Biden himself just said that not less than 2 months ago, that the white male will be the minority in this country in, I don't know, 20 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And the difference is that white genocide on the white supremacist end of things wishes to stop the minority takeover of white America.
Mark, do you believe he's a racist?
That's not what Biden was saying.
There's a difference, but do you believe Donald Trump's a racist, Mark?
Yeah, I do.
You do. Yeah. Was there anything good he's done in his 4 years?
He retweets white supremacist tweets and then disavows any knowledge. I'm just retweeting. You know, that holds no water. We're all responsible for what we say and what we think and what we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you have any good things?
That used to be the Republican Party, the party of personal responsibility.
Listen, I think both parties are all screwed up personally. I don't think there's a good, you can't tell me 10 great things they're doing. They're both fucked up either way you look at it. But Mark, what do you think about, like, is there any one good thing that this guy's done in your opinion?
Well, he brought the conversations to the forefront. You know, he did bring the conversations to the forefront, and you know, in their, when the rhetoric subsides a little bit, there may be, because there is a conversation out there, as long as it's a conversation and not a shouting match, there may be some action. Whether that action will be good action or bad action, you know, a lot of times we try to do good things and they have unintended consequences.
I get you.
But at least we try.
At least we try. That's right. And so, Duane, I want to go to you. What is the worst thing, and what is the best thing, or if you have anything you want to compliment the president on? And this is Donald Trump. I'm asking the question, Duane.
Yeah, I've had the advantage of having a little longer, so I can give it a very direct answer. The stimulus, I honestly think if Trump hadn't shamed our Congress into actually doing the stimulus, it wouldn't have happened. So that was the best thing he did, and it honestly may be what saved this country, whether I like the guy or not. And when the looting starts, the shooting starts, which was the actual quote from a 50s sheriff in Florida, normally misattributed to George Wallace, that he gave that I really didn't appreciate and turned me into a activist. But
that's right.
Connecticut and the United States are very different. And in Connecticut, we work a lot more civilly, at least.
You certainly do here in the state of Connecticut in comparison to a lot of the protests that go on. You know, I just, it's interesting when I hear your comments, and I know they're honest from you folks, and I'm not debating whether or not you feel those are true facts. I have a hard time because I don't see things through the same glass, and maybe I'm the confused one. I don't know. I don't think I am, at least. But, you know, I do find that it's pretty impressive to me that we can have such a divide in this country. Do you guys have any opinion? What's the one thing that could happen, and not Donald Trump, because our elected officials, as much noise as they make, aren't the ones that really make change. It's us. What's the one thing that we can do together together and unite the people with differing opinions. And I want to hear from each one of you. What can we do? Kurt?
Oh, Mark's ready before.
Okay, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, you know, what we attributed to this huge divide is on a federal basis where we're not, you know, we're not even next to each other, and we're civil in this conversation.
Right.
And I think that this is the way that, you know, outright racism, you know, what people think of as racism is, you know, getting in somebody's face and saying these horrible things. Well, that's one form of racism that does happen. But it's the institutional and systematic racism that is actually more pervasive. All those things being said is, on a local basis, one-to-one, we're civil. And if we could bring this civility to our social networking platforms, you know, and I think that, you know, in spite of Curtin and Duan, you know, saying our personal civil liberty, our First Amendment rights ought to be unlimited, I think that, you know, I've been on blog sites where there was heavy moderating. Boy, you didn't want to get snippy with somebody because you'd be taking a 3-day rest.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and that creates a degree of civility so that people can actually hear. You know, when you start yelling or you start snipping and you start calling people MFs, you know, the conversation digresses to nothing.
Do you think that the painting of the picture, Mark, to that question, that there's a national theme from corporate media, political elite, actually, I think Hillary Clinton, the deplorables, those comments that come across about a person who might support Donald Trump's platform, are those derogatory comments helpful?
I'm not going to disagree with you. I don't think it serves anybody's purpose. Hey, listen, I get on Facebook and I give you guys heck, right?
Appreciate it every time.
You know, but you know, you and I and Kevin and I, you know, we have pretty thick skins, and it's a little bit different in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were to talk sometimes like I do to you, or to, you know, and talk to Duan that way.
Mm-hmm.
Whom I don't know at all, have no interaction with. He hasn't snarked me. I haven't snarked him, and I start to call him an MF-er.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that probably is the end of the conversation.
He's gonna karate chop you. He's a martial artist, that guy. Don't mess with that dude.
But he might take certain comments personally, and I don't think that you and Kevin do.
Yeah.
And I think you probably get a little bit irate about it, and 5 minutes later, it's all done.
But the conversation.
Tone does need to come down a little bit.
Right.
I'm as guilty as the next person. I'm not going to say I'm not.
Kurt, what do you think about this?
Accountability.
That's accountability?
It. Very simple.
Okay.
Across the board, period.
All right.
And it, you know, owning up the stuff when something's articulately pointed out or logically pointed up,
right,
based off fact, both sides, then, you know, and if it's morally in your soul where you can feel like it's a good thing or a good idea, we're all born with that innate feeling and compass in us, then we can figure it out from there. Because if you're accountable, it's a proven method of success in the business world and political. I mean, and just in life in general, it makes you feel better as a person, thus making you operate better.
Duan, why don't you finish up? We're coming right to the end, guys, so I want to give Duan a moment. Anything, comments?
Well, we have to understand it's more consequential, even with Trump or anyone else, it's more consequential to ask if a action does racial harm than if a person is racist. Because really the brain biopsy of who Donald Trump is and the Rorschach test of what he does is not productive as a country. We're bigger than one guy in the United States. And our problems are bigger than one guy. And I'll be very glad when this guy is gone so we can focus on the problems more so than who is racist, who's not racist, and we can get into what racial actions are hurting people.
Very good. So I want to say thank you to the panel today. Duan, Kurt, and Mark, I hope to have you back. I want to expand the panel to maybe six folks. What we're hoping to do is get three people that would have opposite opinions and see how we can work that whole panel discussion. I will say, as we close out the show today on News Rocky, we appreciate the guest that came on. We had a tough conversation. I sat all by myself here. No yelling took place, no swearing. We sometimes disagreed and sometimes maybe learned something a little bit today. That's what the News Rocky show is about. Look, I'm worse than anybody else out there. I'll throw something out and I'll try to have a conversation. The reason I do that is to inspire a conversation. The only way we're going to correct this path that we're on in the country, in the United States, if we keep talking to each other. See, the divide by creation can separate. What we need to do is get people back in the room talking. What we need also to do is to stop trusting our political system, stop trusting the corporate media, and start believing in ourselves, the American people. Guys, thanks for tuning in for a News Rocky show. This special show is going to be part of a series we'll be announcing very soon on the racial divide and the political system and how it's created this disruptive lifestyle here in this country. Thanks for tuning in, News Rocky. Let's get back in the ring next time.